Of the Lord this morning. I'm glad I could come, and I'm glad you could be here. Y'all may be seated. Not because I've been so faithful, but because you've been so good. You've always been there for me to provide my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there in all my pain, guiding my footsteps, a shelter from the rain, for it was you who made my life complete. To me, my everything, and that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you were in there. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you were in there. You're the joy of my salvation. Oh, you're the peace in my storm. Your loving arms protect me. You shelter me from harm. You're the Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're my strong tower, my dearest and best friend, for it was you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything, oh, and that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you were in there. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you were in there. You're the joy of my salvation. Oh, you're the peace in my storm. protect me. You shelter me from harm. You're the Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're my strong tower, my dearest and best friend. For it was you my life complete. You are to me my everything. Oh, and that is why I sing, Jesus, I love you, because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you, because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Sing it with me. Jesus, I love you, because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you, because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you.
Amen. Let's all stand.
Chain, break every chain that can break.
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Now, bride, oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Oh, there's a bride, now she's rising up. She can break every chain.
Be a part of that bride this morning and to be part of that army. Amen. She's rising up, saints of God. Hallelujah. May the Lord God be praised this morning in the midst of his congregation. Happy to be here. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. And if you ask me how I got this, I feel impressed to preach this morning. And it's going to be for everybody. 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 And you can see where you fit in on what part. I've never really heard it preached before. And I come across it about a month ago. And it's kind of unusual. But it's talking about a tree. And if you could drop down in St. Luke, 13th chapter, verse 6. And he spake also this parable. This is the Lord Jesus now. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, one that takes care of the tree, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree. 3 years had gone by, Brother Jimmy, and they couldn't find it. He would come and look. I don't see no fruit on it. Spring comes. The leaves might come on it. Summer comes when it's time, maybe the fall, when the fruit is supposed to come to its fruitation. I find none. Sad situation for the tree. Cut it down, he says. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? Cumbereth it means to cause to cease, to put an end to, do away with it, abolish it. Let's get rid of this tree. Look, 3 years have gone by, and 3 is perfection, 7 is complete. 3 years have gone by, and we haven't, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Verse 8. Now the dresser comes and says, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Dung means to fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. In other words, another chance. Another chance. Another chance. Let's give it another chance. I'm not going to say one more chance. I'm going to say another chance. Give it another chance. Give it another chance. Whatever situation you're in, saints of God, in your life this morning, I ask the Lord another chance. Another chance. Let's just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come this morning and we look at your dear, precious word. And we ask you that you would come and speak to us this morning in the congregation of your people. Father, in Jesus' name, may we just come and absorb with the Spirit would speak to us this morning and how you would lead us this morning, Lord. Lord, bless those that made an effort to come out to your house this morning. Bless those that couldn't, Father. Lord, we ask that you bring blessings and glory to your people this morning. We ask these things so wonderfully in the holy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people can say, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Here we see a very touchy situation, because throughout the scriptures, probably we read it many times, where Jesus actually cursed the tree and it withered. And then he tells us, Jesus also tells us, that if a tree's not bearing fruit, to prune it down. But here is another angle that you probably don't hear preached too much. And it is asking that the tree be abolished. And one stands there that's the dresser of it, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, and which is the type of the Spirit of Christ, and says, another chance, another chance, another chance. So he's going to dig around it. Now, I can go into the natural right now, which I will. And up here in the state of Kentucky above us, probably up in the area around Independence before you get to Cincinnati, there was a man that had a tree, and the same situation happened. And there he was, the tree wouldn't bear fruit. It went on 2 or 3 years without bearing fruit. So they came, and apparently it was in some type of an orchard where the trees have to produce, because they're going to make money. They're going to sell apples, whatever, or whatever it produces. So, you know, you can't have dead wood around. Amen? Right. So therefore, this man said, let me do something. And he went away, and the owner probably, or the manager of the orchard, saw to the caretaker, and the caretaker said, let me do something. So he went and he dug all around the tree. All around the tree. He dug all around the tree and he put dynamite in it. And he lit the dynamite. And the dynamite is, as we know, is very explosive, and it has a lot of power to it. But whatever happened, it got down, and such power came and shook the roots. As a matter of fact, the dynamite explosion went all the way to the barn, all the way to the barn. And it went into the roots. It shook the roots in such a way and jarred the roots in such a way that the tree immediately started producing, saints of God. Amen. Now let's bring us into the spiritual right now. Amen. If you're sitting idle here this morning, if whatever you have a need of in your life, maybe something can shake your roots this morning. Maybe an explosion of the Holy Spirit this morning can come down. Amen. Whatever you had need of, whatever you're lacking in life, whatever. Amen. Call for another chance this morning. Ask the Lord Jesus in his mercy. Ask the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For another chance. Another chance. Amen. I call for myself right now. I ask God another chance as a pastor. Amen. A flourishing congregation. A congregation full of the Holy Ghost. A congregation where Brother Branham told us how the church should be in order, and how it should be accomplished, and how the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit should have such success in our services. Brother, bring me up just a little bit. Sister, brother. Amen. Ask God this morning to deal with your life in whatever it may need. Amen. Don't be bashful, saints of God. Cry out to God this morning. Amen. We're not a bunch of Baptists sitting here staring at the preacher. Amen. Give us, Lord, another chance. Now, we're supposed to be the top of the bride tree. Now, remember, Jesus Christ was the groom tree, and he had the fruits bearing. His life bore the fruit of the Holy Ghost. It bore the fruit of the Father. And we are supposed to be The bride tree. That bride tree went into effect on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And she had a book of Acts that followed her. And she created a book of Acts by the power of the Holy Ghost. She represented, amen, she represented that bride that was birthed on a day of Pentecost. And notice now, but she was cut down. In Niacea 3:25, she was cut down. And she went in. And only the roots was left. But then the Bible said, I shall restore. I shall restore. Amen. So then we see Luther come up. And Brother Branham said, it began the bride tree to come back into effect. How many believe that this morning? Amen. The bride tree, she came back into effect. Brother Branham said, Luther brought the pulp. He said, Wesley brought the bark, the doctrine of holiness. Amen. Now, a lot of folks want to skip this part. Now, listen to me now. A lot of folks want to skip. Pentecost brought the joy of worship back into the church. Now, most message people, you say Pentecost and it's a bad word to them. But it's still part of the process. Amen. It's still part of the process, saints of God. Amen. We want to, you know, a lot of us want to pull that part out. A lot of us want to pull that part out. Amen. We can deal with Luther. We can deal with Wesley. But when we want to skip over now. Now, it brought the leaves. And Brother Brian said, what is the leaves? The clapping of hands. The joy of worship. But now where are we? With all that inclusive, it's all included. It's all included now. Amen. You can't skip one part of it. But what part do we play? We play the fruit. We're at the top, saints of God. We're the fruit. We're the fruit it should be bearing. Now, what is the vineyard owner here, not the dresser, what is he asking for? He's not asking for bark. He's not asking for pulp. He's not asking for leaves. He's asking to see fruit. Amen. This is why this sermon is so fitting. Amen. You couldn't preach this in Luther's day. You couldn't preach this in Wesley's day. You couldn't preach this in Pentecost. Amen. It wasn't fruit on a tree yet. But we are the people that produce the fruits of Christ. Lord, give us another chance. Give us another chance. Give us another chance. Brother Branham said in Restoration of the Bride Tree, listen to this, page 76. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same signs. Watch. Justification brought back the pulp. Luther. Sanctification brought back the bark. The doctrine of holiness. Wesley. What brought the leaves back? The Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostal leaves clapping their hands. Joy. Rejoicing. Well, Brother Bo, we're in the message. We don't believe in doing stuff like that anymore. Well, you're not going to be part of the tree. Up till just recently, I have a bad habit of saying I'm Pentecostal from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm not Pentecostal by doctrine. I'm not Pentecostal by evidence. I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not Pentecostal because I believe a certain doctrine around the message. I'm Pentecostal by experience. But I'm going, Brother David, this day I'm going to stop that. I'm camp meeting. Too many message people get offended by that. But if you say camp meeting, that might be okay, right? So what is it? He said, the Pentecostal leaves clap their hands, joy, rejoice, and Pentecostal what? Now, the fourth was the word itself. The word made flesh. Fruits of the proof. Fruits of the proof. Fruits of the proof, saints. It is manifesting time, saints. It is fruit time. Amen. We've hid behind message books for years and did whatever we wanted to. We hid behind tapes and sin whatever we want to do. But it's fruit time now. The Holy Spirit interceded in this situation and said, give it another chance. Give it another chance. Give it another chance. Give the tree another chance.
He comes down this morning and offers you another chance. I can fit in it. Brother Bo, you need another chance? Sure I do. I come to Tennessee 21 years ago. Things didn't work out the way we expected. So, Brother David, I asked for, God, give me another chance as a pastor. Give me another chance. Give me a chance. God, you promised I would have a Holy Ghost-filled church. See, I fit in this too, saints. Now, here, let's break from the tree a minute and go into the eagle. Now, the eagle is a special bird. As a matter of fact, we're identified as the eagle age this morning. We're in an eagle age. We're under an eagle power. There was four living creatures around the throne, and Brother Branham said that meant powers. And there were ages underneath each of those four living creatures. And this age, we identify, we're under the power of an eagle. It flies high. Amen. An eagle is a ripper with the beak. He is the most revered and the most misunderstood bird that there is. Now hold on now. God likens his heritage to an eagle. It is a symbol of power and authority, mounting up power. Now, with all of that, most of us only see the one life of an eagle. Most of us, as message folks, we see the eagle flying high. We see her in the mount. We see her, we feel and we see her feeding her young. And then Brother Branham tells us how she puts her eaglets on a wing and she takes them out for their solo flight. We see only that. But I'm here to tell you an eagle has two lives. An eagle has two lives. Number one, it gets to around the age of 40. It starts growing this crust over its beak where it can hardly see. And its beak, that this crust grows over, it inhibits the eagle from going after his or her prey and food. Its talons on its feet become in a situation where it can't scoop down and pick food up anymore. Now listen to this very carefully, saints of God. Here is the eagle at its decision. God don't decide for it. It has to decide whether it's going to live, and it can live up to 30 more years to the age of 70, or it can choose to end its life and die a slow death. Saints, I believe where are we at in the message of the hour? Think about it. We're not beginners anymore. Brother Branham's off the scene. We're not in Brother Branham's meetings anymore. We're not first comers to the meeting anymore. We're not just learning serpent seed anymore. We're not just getting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. Most of us sitting here have been in the message a long time, like me. I believe we have reached this point in our eaglet life. Will you ask God this morning for another chance so that you can go through the process and renew your youth in the Word of God again? Saints, I see more and more message people getting colder and colder and colder, filled more with the world. I see churches doing away with their midweek service, have one service on Sunday, and then most of the people come so they can go out to eat. God has become secondary, where at one time when we came to the message, he was the first in everything. We couldn't wait to get out of the car to get in church. I've seen it. I've done it myself. Let the car door slam itself.
I'm getting in church as soon as possible. Where are we at, saints? We've got to choose this morning as an eagle. Are we going to live 30 more years? Or are we going to die a slow death at age 40? Think about it. That's why the Lord allowed me to connect us together. Now listen now. Let's turn in our Bibles. Let's get some scriptural references here, because we want to base, how many believe that basing everything on the Word of God? Amen? Amen. Turn with me to Psalms 103 verse 2. Psalms 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Praise the Lord. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Amen. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Come on, saints. God can take you out of the way of destruction. He can pull you out. Do you realize the people of this nation, as well as the rest of the world, are on a trip to destruction? I want to have fun, Brother Bo. I want to have fun, Brother Smeaton. I'm young. I want to do everything. I'm old. And when I'm 18, I'm out of here. I put up with your rules and regulations. I did this and I did this and I had to do this. And now I'm 18. I'm out of here. I'm on my own. I'm big enough that I can do whatever I'm old enough to do. You're on a way to destruction. What do you got to face? The world out there. Everything's okay. Okay? The president that we got now, he wasn't interested in helping America when he took office, and when the night he was elected back in 08, he said he was going to change everything. Well, he did. Ladies can walk in men's bathrooms now. Men can walk in ladies' bathrooms now. If you're in a department store and you need to try on an outfit or whatever it is, yeah, and you're a guy, you go in this stall here, a lady can walk in and pull the curtain and look. I said, well, I told somebody the other day, they ain't going to see much with me. I mean, this is what it's come to put rainbows all around the White House. I mean, he sure changed America. He legalized it. Sure, it's been all the while, but he legalized it all. What is there left? What is there left? Except the Lord Jesus. And until Brother David, until the rapture, we serve him with all of our heart. And we want to be this tree. Amen. When the inspector comes and says, Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm paraphrasing now. How come this tree hadn't produced? It's been a message tree, right? This is message row right here. This is all the people lined up in the message. How come this tree ain't got no fruit on it? Huh? Let me tell you, saints, that puts me on my knees. It puts me on my knees. The fruit of this hour. The fruit of this hour. Get the tape sometimes. Get the book sometimes. Read the book. Listen to the tape. Restoration of the Bride Tree. We had a prophet come in this age to identify. This is the time where the bride tree comes to fruitation, her full fruitation right now. Well, that's going to happen after the rapture. No, this happens before the rapture, saints. Amen. Because you know what this tree is to do? This tree, this full bloom blossomed, fruited bright tree produces another book of Acts, not during the millennium, not during the 3.5 years we're at the wedding supper, but she produces it before the rapture. I want to be part of it, saints. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it. I want to be a part of this. Amen. I believe I'm a part of this great army rising up. I believe I'm the bride raising up. Amen. I believe we can break every chain. Let's go back to Psalms 103 verse 5. If you could look down for me.
who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, Brother Branham describes this, and I'm going to describe it in just a minute, how the eagle has to go through. It has to make a decision. God ain't going to make the decision for you or me this morning. You have to make this decision. Am I going to go through this process? It's hard. The eagle has to go. And he's got to get on a rock. And he's got to start beating his beak. Beating the beak. How many times he has to do it, I don't know. I'm not an animal specialist. But then he has to break that crust off his beak. Then once he does that, I understand, a new beak forms or somehow. I may not be correct in all of that, but he has to beat the crust off of it. Then he's got to get rid of the things that's grown over his talons so that they can be sharp again. And then that renews his eyesight back. Then his youth is renewed. Not that he has transcended and got a body change. No, he's the same eagle. Amen. It's not I'm asking you for a body change this morning. God knows. Amen. We're all getting old. When I came to Tennessee 21 years ago, I was a young man. Now I'm an old man. It's not our age that's going to change until a body change. But notice now, we get renewed like we were when we first came to the Message Saints. We were so excited, weren't we? Come on now. It's the same God. Is the message changed? No. Has the message died out? Has the message cooled off? I hope not. Well, Brother Bo, we got so many things happen. Our family's this. Our family's not the way it used to be. This has happened. That has happened. So has everybody else's. You ain't the only one. Well, this has happened. I just can't get above it, Brother Bo. Yeah, I understand. Some of us bear heartache. Some of us bear woe. Amen. But we still got to make a decision whether we're going to renew our youth. Lord, bring back the springtime to me. As the earth has renewed. I was out the other day, and I was riding in a car, and I put all the windows down, and I said, oh, Lord, this is so wonderful. The cold of winter's gone. I'm not a winter. I'm not a fall person. Some people love fall. You might love fall. I hate fall. I hate winter. I love spring. I love summer. I love September. I love it up till the 1st of October. Then that's it. I could be a hibernating bear. Just crawl me in a cave somewhere and give me a couple warm blankets. And I said, oh, Brother Jubal, I said, oh, this is so wonderful. This beautiful spring air. Look at the leaves. The leaves are so fresh. They're so mint green. The grass is coming up. People are starting to mow their yards. Oh my, look at the flowers. Oh my, saints, you know, we can have springtime in our soul. We don't need to be in fall anymore. We don't need to be in the cold of winter anymore. Amen. God likened us unto his eagles. And as I said before, we only want to see the first part of the eagle. But an eagle has two lives. Join with me this morning to go into the second life of the eagle. Let's get rid of all these ideas that we got. A lot of this head knowledge that we got. A lot of these false doctrines around the mess. Let's just bang them off. Let's go on with the true word of God in this hour that has been revealed by a prophet of God this morning. Now notice, turn with me to Isaiah 40 verse 31. Isaiah 40 verse 31. Look, saints, we're asking God for another chance. Let's bring it up in Brother Branham's terminology when he preached it in his day. Just one more time, Lord. Just one more time. Just one more time, Lord. Just one more. Just once more. But he said, before just once more, destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Destroy your enemy before he destroys you. I don't know your enemy. You don't know mine. But whatever our enemies are this morning, destroy them.
We're a bride rising up that can break every chain. Every chain can be broke. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, that means, you know, fainting along the way. A lot of message. Folks have fainted along the way. And then they come up, well, we'll play a tape at home. Come on now. Let me ask you. Let's be serious. I asked my church last night. We had service last night with six of us. Six of us. Counting me. Counting Sister Joyce. I asked the church last night, how many people today that claim the message really listen to a tape? How many really get a book like we used to, and we get to church a half hour early and we'd sit there, and if we weren't reading our Bibles, we were reading, I still call it the old school spoken word book. How many do that? None of my church do. How many listen? How many? So these people that say, well, we listen to tape. We don't need a pastor. We'll stay at home and play. You really believe that? Probably watching the game shows or the soap operas, slop operas. Now, let's go back up a minute and see how merciful God is and how great God is. Go up here to Isaiah 40, verse 28. Verse 28, has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, that's Christ, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. I realize seasons have changed in the message, but yet the message has not changed. What was good 40 years ago is still good today. Amen. What was good when the prophet preached it is still good today. Amen. He giveth power to the faint. If you're fainting this morning like me, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Amen. This is what we need. This is a prayer for us now. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Let's focus in the spiritual now. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So Isaiah is depicting, he's describing the process that an eagle goes through. And this eagle that he's talking about, as well as in Psalms 103, is an eagle that didn't decide to die when they were age 40. They decide to go through a process so they could live 30 more years in the glory of God. Saints, whatever we got hanging on us, we need to unload it this morning. We're in an hour now. I preached it last night. We're in an hour now. Listen to this. We've heard through the years. And I could be a good denominational Pentecostal this morning. Church of God, Assemblies of God, United Pentecostal Church, and a minister would get up. Oh, you got to trust God. How many believe in trust God? Amen. You ain't got nothing in life because you don't trust God. Oh, we got to trust God. Amen. We know that. We're in an hour now. We're in an hour now where God wants to trust you. It's trust issues around. We know we got to trust God. That has been taught to us for years. We're not negligent that we don't trust God. We do trust God. But we're in a stage right now. Can God trust us? Can we be that trusted son or daughter of God this morning? Can God really say, I sealed her with the Holy Ghost? She might wear a long dress to church, but guess what? She wears one around the house, and she goes to Walmart. She goes to the dollar store with one on. I don't have to worry about her putting a miniskirt on or a pair of pants or a shorts. Well, how about around a house? Even around a house. God sees you. I can trust her not to trim her hair. Come on, saints, trust issues. I can trust her. Oh, she don't wear makeup to church, but when she goes to work the next morning, she puts a little lipstick on and my, she puts a little eyeliner on. You know, you got to look pretty in the office. God can't trust you, sister. You do stuff like that. Now, let's get on to brothers a little bit. Let's go this way a little bit. Come on. God wants to trust you, brothers. He wants to put his trust in you. I read the scripture last night. I won't ask us to turn over there in 1 Thessalonians 2 and then in 1 Timothy 1:1. How Paul testifies to the church at Thessalonica and to the letter he's writing to Timothy. How God, the Lord Jesus Christ, entrusted the gospel to Paul. But Paul had such a bad reputation. Paul was a killer. Paul was a murderer. Paul was an intellectual man. So God redeemed Paul, filled him with the Holy Ghost like he has done us. And then entrusted him to be one of the theme writers of the New Testament, to be a prophet, and not only a prophet, but an apostle also. Never underestimate the grace of God in your life. Never underestimate what God can deliver you from and what God can do for you in your life. Oh, Brother Bo, I've done this, I've done that. So has everybody else. Amen. You're just one of the crowd, though. But guess what? We're all redeemed. Amen. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're just not Book of Life people. You know, if your name's just on the Book of Life. Now, Brother Branham told us how it was. He said, it's one book, but two sections. Thank God a prophet came and explained it. Nobody can explain it like that. And Brother Branham said, there's one book, but two sections. One is the Lamb's Book of Life, and then the other is the Book of Life. Now, if your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, no one can take it off because the Lamb wrote it in red. Amen. But just Book of Life people, your name can come off. That's why I don't want to find my name just on the Book of Life. That's my old natural life. Brother Bo did this. Brother Bo did this. Brother Bo did this. Brother Bo did this. But over in the Lamb's Book of Life, Brother Bo did nothing but serve God. Amen. I hope everybody saw it on my Facebook page the other day. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing against me. Nothing is against me. Now, the same way with your Bible. You have the Old and the New Testament. Amen? Now, the Old Testament gives all the wrongs that people did. Right? Abraham lied. Noah got drunk. Come on. David committed adultery and got Bathsheba. All these different things happened bad. But then we come over and in the New Testament, put it through the blood of the Jesus. Put it through the bleach. Put it through the bleach of the blood that was shed on the cross. Amen. Shed on the cross. And you can't find any of that. Only the good. Only you go to Hebrews 11 and it'll tell you, only what they did for the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Amen. See, I want to bring all my Old Testament characteristic through the New Testament and put it through the blood, put it through the token, put it through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and nobody can find anything wrong. If you're a Christian, of course, you know, you got people, no matter what, they're going to find always fault with you. That's because they ain't got the Holy Ghost. That's why. Come on, saints of God. Holy Ghost people don't frown, ridicule, and put down Holy Ghost people. And I find too much of that around the message. I'm going to tell you something. I know churches that are going through struggles right now, and World War III is just about to hit, ready to hit one church. And let me tell you something. When you got church problems, you got bad problems in your life. Because especially us, you know, we're so gravitated to church. We're so into our church. We love our church. We want it to stand. We never want it to fall. Amen. We pray for our pastor. We hold him up in prayer. We keep him before the throne of God. We keep everybody under the blood, even if they may not be measuring up to the statistics that we thought they should. But we keep them under the blood. We pray for them. Amen. That's the purpose of the church. But you get church problems with a bunch of carnal-minded, unholy ghost people, you got troubles. You got troubles. You think you got family troubles? You think your kids are running wild? You think your grandkids are out of control? Just get to church that way. You wish that God you could go somewhere and bury yourself in a hatch somewhere. You got church problems. Listen to this here. This is where God wants our obedient saints of God. Brother Brown preached a message called Hear Ye Him. Now listen. This is where we've got to come into the realm of obedience through grace, not through the law, through grace. Now listen. Brother Bram said here, what if the son still won't obey? Now remember, in the Old Testament, it was brought into that a son was born into a family. And if that son was the firstborn, he received a double portion. And then the rest of the family received the single portions. Actually, the daughters did not receive any portion because their inheritance was joined to their husband that found them. Not like today. Amen. Totally different today. Now, Brother Brown said, a son is born into a family, but he still won't obey. Oh, he's born into the family of God, but he won't obey. Are you one this morning like this? We can't say that he's not a son, but he will never have any inheritance. So in the Old Testament, the way it was in Israel, and Jesus followed the same principles in his life, your inheritance was based upon how much the Father could trust you. Ring, ding, 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 ding. Hello? Mr. Cunningham. This police officer, Sergeant so-and-so and so-and-so. We caught your son out drunk. We're taking him in. Next week, he gets out of jail. Father bails him out. A good father would. Bails him out. Ding, 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 ding. Mr. Cunningham, your son just shot and killed somebody. Ooh. See, saints, fathers, y'all fathers here, you don't want to hear that about your kids, do you? You don't want to hear about your grandkids. So therefore, God, being our Heavenly Father, wants to trust us in such a manner. And then, as a son of God or a daughter of God, he sends you the greatest tutor that anybody could ever have, and that's called the Holy Ghost itself. And the Holy Ghost leads you and guides you and raises you up. Amen. Then, when you get to a certain state of trustworthiness, your adoption occurs. See, we come by justification, grace. We come by sanctification, grace. Amen. We receive the Holy Ghost by grace. But we receive adoption by trust. Come on, saints. God is going to have it before a church, before this bride church leaves this earth. She's going to be in full power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Nothing can stand in her way. She can speak the third bowl, the third pole. I believe the third pole has been in effect since the opening of the word, the opening of the seals. Amen. The seals have been loose. The seals have been revealed. Amen. That's all part of the third pole. Brother Branham demonstrated it with the squirrels, with the south. I believe that same power will come to the bride before she leaves here. But here's the thing. The third pole is a very sacred thing. That there was silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. So therefore, God is not going to trust this with someone who's not trustworthy. Saints, this eagle has a chance to live if this eagle can go through the process and make up its mind. It's not the Holy Ghost beating it to the altar. Come on, pick you up by the hair of the head and drag you to the altar to repent. It's not. It's got to decide. Sure, I believe in predestination. But here's the thing. Predestination comes by foreknowledge. God knows already what you're going to do. That's why he elects you. Amen. And therefore, he knows you're going to make the word choice. Your choices are going to be according to the word. That's why he elected you. See, we don't have the gift of foreknowledge. Like we're human, we're mortal. I don't know what I have tomorrow. I'm called on jury duty, 9 o'clock. Y'all pray for me. Let me all tell you this. I told my family, I told the church, I will not sentence anyone with a death sentence. If I'm on a murder trial, give them life. Put them in jail the rest of their life. I will not sentence someone to death. Brother Branham explained it this way. Jesus was a product of cruel capital punishment. Matter of fact, before Brother Branham went out and met those angels, he was in Texas alibiing for a man or young man on death row. And Brother Branham pleading, give him life. Let me tell you something. I realize I haven't had it happen to me. I don't know. But here's the thing. Electrocuting someone, hanging someone, giving someone on a gurney a lethal injection is not going to bring that other person back. Brother Adam says here, notice now. The Father says he won't listen. He won't obey. I can't put trust in him. I'll just have to let him go. He's always a son. If you're born of the Spirit of God, I have to say that because you're a son. But what if this son is a good son, an obedient son? Oh, how he loves the Father. How the tutor would like to say, oh, Dad, I tell you what, you know that boy of yours, he's a chip off the old block. I'm telling you, he said, just about your business. He'll take care of you just as good as he can right now. Now the Father swells up. Oh, sure. That's my boy. That's the way I want him to think about us, Brother Branham said. How many want the Lord to think about you like this morning? My hand goes up. If I could put two up, I would. Yeah. I told the church last night, there's been opportunities in my life where I could have a full church. Number one, in 1998, 49 people walked out on a Sunday. The day before, three people came into my office, my trustees. And they said, we want to get up tomorrow and we want to say our piece. I said, trustees have no say when it comes to spiritual matters or doctrines of the church. Trustees are businessmen, right? They picked the wrong one. They said, unless you preach that Brother Joseph is now the prophet of the hour, unless you believe in a literal canvas tent coming back, and you must disfellowship all that you have fellowship with, and only fellowship with VGR and Branham Tabernacle, or we're voting you out tomorrow. Well, you know what? The vote didn't happen. 49 people left. Now, you know what? Brother Joel, I could have said this. Okay. If that's what you want me to preach, I'll preach it. Okay. We'll get VGR down here. We'll have a agape meeting. We'll have this meeting. We'll have a symposium. We'll bring it to Dyersburg. We'll rent the Lanham Center or somewhere. We'll have this. We'll have all this. Yeah. Then a year later, 1999, up in Ohio, the two soul people got a hold of me. Because the one minister I used to hang around with when we were 19 years old, he would preach in our church back in Maryland in Baltimore, and I would play the organ. He used to come as a visiting evangelist. I was 19, he was 19, we were best buds together. And he got a hold of me, and we want to come down. We want to come down and teach this to your church. We want to come down. I can fill your church up. We want to come down and preach to souls. And they take a quote in 1961, and they say one quote now, and it's not what they say as they interpret it. Brother Brown said the old soul dies and the new soul comes alive. So they say that's the old soul and the new soul. Uh-huh. So you can take one quote out of context and form false doctrine with it. You know what I said? Don't bother. I stayed with the revealed word as the Spirit speaketh. Yeah. Yeah, we could have had our building filled. VGR could have filled it for us. Oh yeah. But see, the modern church wants members. The Holy Ghost Church wants changed lives. See, saints of God, the Holy Ghost has been crying out, change. He wants change. What kind of change? Not changing the gospel, not altering it, not this same old message, amen? Not I hate to say old, but same message, amen? It never gets old. It's the living word of God. Now notice now, amen? Change. Obama, the devil comes over to Obama. Change. See, whatever God says, the devil's going to counterfeit. So he's going to use a mouthpiece, amen, of a pervert that gets there and talk about changing the U.S. Amen. You would want your little girls to go in a man walk in the bathroom while they're there. I strongly suggest you, mamas, grandmamas, aunts, cousins, uncles, whatever you may be, to take your children in the bathroom if they have to go, and don't let them go in by themselves. If you take them to a department store, Target, wherever, and they need to try something on, please go in there with them. Brother Branham said, and this child, that son, did not obey and was not an obedient child. It never was no more than a son. It remained a son, but it had no inheritance. See, saints, our inheritance. We're talking about inheritances. And many of us just put inheritances over in glory, but we are to receive inheritance even on this side. God can give a minister the gift of being a pastor or the gift of preaching. Now listen carefully. And then God allows him a church. That's an inheritance. Do you realize that? That is an inheritance. But then let's say, God forbid, let's say this. Here it goes. Let's say he messes up and runs off with some woman or something. God is not an Indian giver. He don't take the preaching gift away from him. But he loses his inheritance. can it come back and be saved? Of course. Grace is grace, saints of God. I believe, again, here we are, another chance. Another chance. But here's the thing. He loses his inheritance. Nobody has any confidence in him anymore. Then trust issues are exercised. We can't trust him. You say, no, wait a minute, Brother Paul, I don't understand. God took his inheritance away, but it didn't take his gift. That's right. The gift of preaching still is there. Let me ask you a question. Elvis had a gift of God to sing into the heavenlies. Elvis had angels assisting him to sing. So when he played the role of Judas Iscariot and sold out the Lord Jesus for a fleet of Cadillacs, was his gift of singing taken away? Okay, then. No. The gift is still there. But the inheritance is gone. The inheritance is gone. What do you mean? Trust. God wants a people today that he can trust. Trust. Amen. Trust. Or with both, that means I need to trust God more. Amen. I'll agree to that. But God wants to trust you more. Amen. I don't need to go into a denominational sermon and preach how we can trust God this morning and how we need to trust God for a new Cadillac or for a 12-room mansion or something like this or this or that or the other or to be a millionaire and all that. You know, that's the kind of preaching. Amen. We're in an hour now where God wants to see trust in us. Can we be trusted? Notice now, let me read this. Why a real Christian can hardly wait. Listen to this, Brother Bram said. Listen to this. He said, now we don't want to stay in that place. We don't want to stay in that place. Now, Brother Bram just laid it out. A son, a disobedient son. Now, Brother Bram said, we don't want to remain a disobedient son. Saints, this morning you can change. You can change this morning. That child, that son that did not obey. Oh, he said, notice now. We don't want to stay in that place. The church ought to be 1,000 miles up the road further than it is tonight. I want to see the church of God in deep sincerity. I want to see old-fashioned prayer meetings. Of course, you know, I want to see them times when they can't leave the church. They just stay all night and pray. And fast. Of course, we threw that out long ago. And call out to God answers. Instead of that, it seems like the love has dwindled away from us. Why a real Christian can hardly wait when the bell rings. He's got the front seat and there. Ready with a songbook in his hand. Of course, we don't have song. We show it up on the screen. That's fine. But the bottom line is, you can't wait to get to church. You can't wait to get in there to the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, saints of God, whatever ailing you this morning, whether it be you're downhearted, whether you're depressed, whether it be you're going through whatever struggles you're going through this morning, I want to tell you, all you got to do is get in one touch of the Master's hand. Get in a Holy Ghost-filled service where the presence of the Lord just saturates it. Amen. I was talking to a brother last night. He was telling me how depression has come in his life, and he could deal with it when he was in his 20s and 30s, and now that he's in his 40s, he's having struggles with it. He had it when he was a small child, and he kind of grew out of it when he got in his 20s and 30s, and now he's reaching his 40s, and now he's going through very, very. I said, listen, all it takes is a dose of the presence of the Lord. That'll lift you up, turn you around. Amen. Place your feet back on solid ground. Amen. And you can say, if you don't believe, I've been redeemed, then follow me down to the Jordan stream. I stepped in the water. Water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. You should have seen me when I got through. The church was on fire with the Holy Ghost too. God wants a church full of fire. Years before I was a pastor, I prayed over church like this that Brother Branham taught. I'd read the message. I'd read messages like this and how Brother Branham, how the church should be. Church should not be cold and formal. Everybody stand. Let's everybody sing Only Believe. Let's sing now. Let's sing Amazing Grace as a pastor. Wake up. Amazing Grace. Sit down. Turn in your Bibles to St. John 1:1. Okay. Stand. Church dismissed. Everybody exit out. Okay. That ain't church. That ain't church. That ain't church. Or you answer my question. Are my standards too high? Should I lower my standards and maybe accept something? When I say standards, I'm not talking about riches. I'm not talking about cars. I'm not talking about homes. I'm not talking about million-dollar jobs a year, or 100,000, or three-digit, four-digit, whatever, six-digit jobs, or whatever, 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 whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a standard of a Holy Ghost-filled church. And my standard's too high, Brother Jewel. Or should I just accept a status quo, lukewarm condition? Oh, we're in the message. We don't go to church on Thursday night or Wednesday night, but we do go on. We can make it on Sunday. Okay. Well, you think I'll ever find a church like that? How many want to be a church like that? Oh, God, help us. Then, Lord, you know, preachers have to preach to themselves sometimes. If it's not to anybody else in here this morning, let it be to me. Lord, I've always preached it this way. If the shoe fits, wear it. So let the shoe fit me this morning. Lord, perhaps you didn't trust me enough. So I come and I ask for another chance. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Now I pray as a minister for everybody here. May God help you if you desire another chance. Whatever it may be, you may not be called to preach. You may not be called to play the organ or the piano or the drums or whatever. You may not be called to be deaconship or trusteeship. But whatever you're called, every Christian has some type of calling that the Lord Jesus calls them to. And if you hadn't been faithful to that, then ask him this morning another chance. Let my fruit that I'm supposed to produce, let it come into fruition. So that when the Father, the Lord, comes to inspect my line of trees, and all the other trees are got fruit on them, and mine don't. Oh. But then see, there was the Holy Spirit that said, give him another chance. Give him another chance. Give the tree another chance. Saints, grace and mercy still here. God can still deal with your life. God can still turn you in from a lukewarm person or a cold-hearted person or whatever. Amen. God can still, amen. If you're a sinner, God can still make a saint out of you. May we all stand this morning. Musicians, if you all come. Brother Jimmy and Sister Lydia, can you put me in a key of F? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, bring me down. Three and a half. Okay. Bring me down to see. Oh, how I love Jesus. We're singing now, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. Listen now, can you make this vow? Oh, I'll never forsake him. I'll never forsake him. Yes, I'll never forsake him because he first loved me. Brother Branham tells us an eagle builds its nest way up high. It raises its young high and high above danger. So let's bring this now in the spiritual realm. Amen. We as eagles this morning, we don't build our nests and raise our youngins down on the ground of the world. But we bring them up high and lofty, high and lift it up. Amen. Matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians, it says we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Saints, this is where eagles, this is where eagles dwell. Amen. You can say eagle all you want. I'm an eagle, but I'm going to look where you're living at. Are you living down in the world? Are you living like the world, rather? Are you living high and lifted up? Away from danger. You know what the danger is to all of us right now? This world, this cosmos world out there. Think about it. Let's sing it again to him. Oh, I'll never forsake him. I'll never forsake him. I'll never forsake him because he first loved me. You need another chance this morning. God can give you that chance. If you have a need in your life, you can come here and we'll pray for you. God is more than able to help you whatever you're going through. Amen. But Eagle, this morning, I believe it still is morning. It's almost noontime. It's about 11:58, 11:59 right now. You got to make the decision. The eagle at around 39, 40, 41 years old, it's got to make a decision whether it's going to have a second life and then live to about age 70. Or it can decide to live a slow death. The decision is up to it, not up to God. Here we are. Here we are, church. Are we gonna decide this morning? Am I going to decide? Lord, another chance. Give me, Lord, the extension that I need, that I can renew, not that I can become young again. Saints, look, we're all growing old, amen? If the Lord tarries, amen, in 20 more years, well, most of us will be in our 80s. Think about it. Maybe 70s. Maybe you ain't as old as I am, but here we are. You know, we thought years ago we got our kids out of the way, hey. But now we got a generation that has to raise their grandkids. And then we got another generation rising up. They're raising their great-grandkids. And if they live to maybe they're 80, 81, 82 years old, they'll be raising their great-great-grandkids. But this is life nowadays. This is life. This is life in America nowadays. Amen. Whatever it may be, here we are. Lord, just give me that another chance. Well, I'm singing, oh. Stands a man, a soldier. Oh God, he asked for another chance, Lord. Lord, honor that. His decision this morning. Jesus, may your angels come right now and help him, Lord. May they assist him on each side, Lord. In front of him, in back of him, on each side, right and left. Holy Ghost, call, Lord. Lord, we call for your Holy Spirit right now to come down, Lord, and saturate our brother in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I cast Satan away that would be hindering this brother. Father, ask for another chance, Lord. May his chance be granted this morning, that he can be that fruit tree in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many can say hallelujah? May God be praised this morning. May the glory of God come down and touch everyone's heart this morning. You have a need from the Lord. He's waiting for you to make that decision this morning. Suppose God placed it upon my heart to speak this message, and you left here without making that decision. Suppose this was your last chance. Oh God, help us, Lord. May your grace be sufficient this morning for all of us. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless this congregation, Father. Sister Cindy. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you told Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Oh, Father, then you said he's both Lord and Christ. Oh, Jesus, we honor you as Lord and Christ this morning. Lord, the sister's asking for another chance. Oh, God, another chance. Oh, God, her decision, Lord. Her mind's made up, Lord, our heart's set right. Lord, she's making a chance, Lord. A decision, Lord, for another chance, rather. Oh, God, bless her. Bless her faith this morning. Bless her faith this morning. Lord, bless Sister Cindy Roberts' faith this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Honor her request, Father. Lord, as the vine dresser said, Lord, just one more time. Oh God, merciful high priest this morning, merciful Jesus. Oh God, bless my sister this morning. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Brother Nate, would you come? Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus.
God's plan. I put my life in His hands. He's got it all in control. soul. Got it all in control.
My soul, he's got it all.